Is there anything that has happened here that has really surprised you mm-hmm. in your experience here, both either personally or professionally?
Uh-huh. Oh, well, it's difficult to think of something that has surprised me. Unfortunately, you may have sort of, for instance, decisions which may have been made by the judges, which have surprised me sometimes. Mm-hmm. We've had a situation last week, for instance, where a witness comes in to court, a witness who had testified before in 2004 for the prosecution, after giving a statement in 1996 to the prosecutor, comes back in 2008 to recant that statement and the testimony. So he had given a statement in 1996, had come in 2004 and sworn under oath and testified in line with that statement. Then in 2004 he comes in and on oath again recants his statement, and then he's allowed to walk away. He's perjured himself. And when you try to get the court to order his detention pending his indictment investigation, they seem to take the view they don't have the authority to do that. And I think the court has an inherent authority to protect its integrity and to deal with people who commit these offenses in the face of the court itself, to deal with them in order to make sure that the process is respected. So that's been a recent surprise, but it may well not recur, I hope.
Well, yeah, and what we're seeing is there's a development of the jurisprudence of the court, mm-hmm. and this court has developed with the help of the lawyers a significant amount of jurisprudence that can be used in future. Mm-hmm. This is another one of those areas, perhaps, mm-hmm. whether it's jurisprudence or something to look at mm-hmm. for future tribunals. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think the trials, we have to make sure they are always fair. There has to be a fair trial for each accused. But there is a tendency sometimes for over-caution on the part of judges. And an incident like this is something we could hold the court up to ridicule, that somebody can come into the well of the court, come in an offense in the face of the court and go away. Mm-hmm. You know, if it does continue to happen, then it could cause difficulties and set really bad precedents as well.
Mm. Is there anything that you've done or been part of doing here that you're particularly proud of?
I'm happy to have been here and to contribute in a little way to what's going on now. We have a good team here in the OTP. And it's a team which has remained very stable over the years. We haven't lost many people. We've been going away. Many of the people who are here not for any material gain as such, or less for material gain, but because they are committed very much to ensuring that justice is done. And so they've tended to stay through many difficulties. So I'm happy to be proud part of that team and to lead the team.
Anything that you're disappointed that you have not been able to do or not done as well as you would have liked? I don't mean just you personally, but your office.
Yeah. There are two areas I think one would like to look at. One is in terms of number of indictees. It would have been good if we could have really indicted a lot more people and prosecuted a lot more people than we actually have. There are many, many persons, suspects, walking around outside Rwanda here who have serious allegations hanging against them, whom we are not able to prosecute because of the completion strategy, because of the fact that we have to close down as an ad hoc tribunal. And for them, a way has to be found to deal with them. Mm-hmm. It has to be found to deal with them. And this is connected with the second issue, which is the transfer of cases to Rwanda. An important part of the completion strategy was and is that we should try and transfer some of our cases to national jurisdictions for trial, including Rwanda. So far, we've not been able to do that. We've not been able to obtain a court order because the judges assessment is that fair trial may not be possible in Rwanda at the moment in for those accused persons. They are concerned about witness protection issues, about generally about the ability of the defense to operate effectively in Rwanda. But Rwanda has agreed to still review its laws and its practices and try and improve on them in order for us to succeed with possibly with a second round of applications for referral. The referral regime is important for us. It's important for Rwanda. It's important for other countries. If it succeeds, it will take a big burden off the tribunal and enable us to complete well. Complete well in the sense that then we can actually even transfer the fugitives' cases to Rwanda, and then a mechanism can be set up to continue to search for them and send them to Rwanda. If there are no transfers made to Rwanda and we want to close down, that issue will be left hanging. The issue of how to deal with the fugitives will be left hanging, and it is being considered that maybe then they could be dealt with by the residual mechanism which will come in after we close. But that's not a very neat way, I think, of ending. It's best if we ended with those cases being referred to Rwanda. The referral is also important for Rwanda because it's a stamp of approval. But beyond the stamp of approval, I think it's also an acknowledgement that Rwanda needs to be involved in the process as the country where this tragedy occurs. The referral is also important for other countries and for dealing with those other people whom we have not indicted, and whom we have not indicted because we are closing down. If we manage to get a referral to Rwanda, other countries where some of these suspects may be located can extradite them to Rwanda and have them tried there. If the referral doesn't succeed, what you'll have probably then is in for instance, in the UK and other countries, you'll have genocide suspects residing there who cannot be prosecuted for jurisdictional reasons in those countries and who cannot be extradited to Rwanda because of the perception that there is no fair trial. And then you have this gap in impunity, a gap in accountability, rather. You know, and they'll just be walking around. So it's those two areas, I hope, I wish that we could see some progress being made.
Is there a mechanism by which your office and the chambers and the defense can work together? Is that a possibility to try to figure things out together? Collaborate, if
the
you
defense.
Will. Yeah, I understand.
The defense, no, probably they'll oppose any transfer to Rwanda. The judges, we can't involve them because they are the ones who decide.
Sure.
But the OTP and Rwanda work together on this. And what we do is the judges will communicate in their decisions what their concerns are. And then we sit with Rwanda and figure out how do we address, how do we overcome these concerns which have been identified by the judges.